tonight in Detroit. The Raptors are, and again, are we going to call it a trap game? Trap game. They're playing a team that may, if they lose tonight, set a record for home futility that they haven't done since, I think, the Dwight Eisenhower era, right? Detroit is just terrible. They are 5-21. They lost to Dallas, who now pick up Rondo. And I'll ask you about that later, what you think about Dallas picking up Rondo. But their 11th consecutive defeat at the Palace of Auburn Hills, that's the longest single-season home skid since a franchise record 15 straight in 1966, extending into 67 around this time of year as well.
You know, at some point, we probably have to stop talking about trap games because the Raptors continue to win most of the games, whether it be a trap game or a game against a contender or otherwise. I mean, we're talking about obviously one of the elite teams right now in the NBA. But I still do look at this one, Joey, and say, you know, simply from a matchup standpoint, I don't care what the record says for the Pistons at home and how many games they've lost in a row. I don't care that it says 5-21. When I think about the biggest issue, and we talked about this a couple of days ago, the biggest issue that the Raptors have had this year, in spite of their record, is defense and rebounding and matching up against other bigs on other teams. The front court, if there's one weakness, and it's been better of late, but if there's one weakness with this team, it's the Raptors' front court. And you look across the floor and see an Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe, and even the versatility of a guy who you know, you can say what you will about him as a shooter and as a player and as a bit of a headache overall, and Josh Smith, because of his size and his length, I throw him into the mix as well in terms of the matchup issues that could be presented by the Pistons for the Raptors. So this, to me, is no cakewalk for the Raptors in spite of what the records of the individual teams say.
And Drummond is a rebound machine among the league leaders and has 14 double-doubles, so you can't underestimate him. It's just overall the team is just playing some terrible basketball. But again, you know, the Raptors have to not take for granted that they can come back in every game. And, you know, that's something that will end up biting them on the you-know-what if they continue that trend at some point. But, you know, they're so far ahead in the Eastern Conference at this point. And then now you look at what Boston did, just essentially throwing in the towel. Not that Boston was going to, you know, not that Boston was going to make a run or anything, but they're 9-14. And now they threw in the towel, so they're done. You look at Milwaukee and, you know, season-ending injury to their best player. And other than Cleveland and Chicago, and Atlanta's still a surprise, and, you know, Washington's going to probably make a move or two, but this conference is theirs for the taking. If there was a year that they could go to the finals, and I know I'm being extremely premature, it's this year. They just have to bear down and become one of those teams that puts teams away and doesn't give them the chance to come back.
Yeah, they got off to a flat start again the other night against Brooklyn, but then dominated the second, third, and fourth quarter. And you hate to see them get off to these slow starts, because I agree with you. You can't continue to bury yourself and expect that you're going to come back every single night. And you certainly can't be playing that way, you know, 4 or 5 months from now when the playoffs roll around. And Dwayne Casey continues to harp on that, as he should, that defense wins championships. We're not going to simply be able to rely on our big-time offense to outscore people in the playoffs. That said, defensively, in terms of, you know, points against, points allowed by the Raptors, when you look at some of the upper-tier teams, again, in their own conference in the East, but then even compared to some of the top teams in the West, they're giving up 98.7 per game. That's kind of right in the mix. I think the problem is we often look at the field goal percentage, and the Raptors are coughing up a higher percentage to other teams, so that's making it easier to score at times, and that's where you get into these shootout battles. But to go to your point overall, Joey, about the window being open or the door being open for the Raptors in the conference, I would tend to agree with you. You know, Washington's a very good team, and they're not going to be going away for a couple of years, much like the Raptors. I don't buy what Atlanta's doing right now. With due respect to that team, I don't see them keeping up this pace. Chicago, if they continue to have the up-and-down problems and injuries and illnesses and ailments for Derrick Rose, that could be an issue for a team that many expected to be tops in the conference. And Cleveland, in year one of the new big three and trying to work it all out, are they prepared, like Miami, who went to the championship, yes, in year one with the big three but didn't win it, are they prepared to do it all this year in Cleveland, or is it going to take them a season to really get things going and then maybe make the run next year and for the next couple of years? So I think you could make a case for the Raptors to be right in that mix with all of those teams. So at what point do you say, we're good, we're very good, but we do have some holes that we might want to fill. And it goes back to the never-ending question of, do you create a hole, though, by filling a hole? So it's going to be a very difficult thing for Masai Ujiri, I think, to figure out going forward is, do I keep it status quo or do I try and tweak a little bit? Because, you know, it's hard to complain about 20-6 at this point.
10 minutes after 11 o'clock, Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. And Eric, it's at Eric, no, wait, are you a double underscore guy?
Yes, sir, double underscore.
That's right, Eric, double underscore.
It rolls off the tongue so well. Yeah. Eric, double underscore Smith.
Yeah, Eric, double underscore Smith. So,
hey, there were a few Eric Smiths taken, Joey, when I was signing up to Twitter, so, you know, my options were limited, you know.
That's the name I
could have been like at Coco Smith or something.
That's the name I used to use when I checked into the hotel for the one-hour rate. Hey, can I get an hour rate? Eric Smith's
Coco
my
Smith.
Name. Yeah, no. Eric Smith was the name that I would use. So
Coco Vendetta sounds pretty good, though.
I like Coco Vendetta. I think that could be a wrestler's name. Hailing from parts unknown, Coco Vendetta. So Rajon Rondo, Rajoni, whatever you want to pronounce his name, because I've heard it pronounced a million ways, but I know that it's Rajon.
Rajon Rondo.
Now, it's not pronounced like that.
What the hell was that?
That's a guy trying to pronounce the name Rajon Rondo. So Rondo goes from Boston, who, as I said, have officially thrown in the towel. They're waving the flag. The flag is burning. To Dallas, which I won't say instantly becomes the best starting five in the NBA, but it's pretty darn close now with Ellis, Parsons, Nowitzki, and Chandler. Adding Rondo to that mix, the question is, how does Rondo gel with his team? Because he's a guy, he's beyond a pass first. This guy, you know, there's a layup and he's kicking it out for a three.
Yeah. And you know what? If he takes that mentality to Dallas, they should be unbelievably dangerous. Because with those weapons that you just talked about around him, his ability to break down a defense off the bounce, so who are you going to try and double? Because you're going to be leaving somebody open no matter what. It might go back to what happened in Boston, and Rondo has become a much better shooter than those original days in Boston. If you remember, Joey, when you had Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, teams often would they would try and get up on Rondo, and then he would blow past them. So teams started to kind of leak off him a little bit, try and turn him into a jump shooter, and thus by cheating off maybe a foot or two, they were able to then recover quickly to get over to a Ray Allen, to a Kevin Garnett, to a Paul Pierce, and double up quickly and force Rondo to be a jump shooter. Well, that might not work anymore. It's not like he's become a ridiculously potent jump shooter, but he's a much better shooter than what he was 3, 4, 5 years ago. So now, what are you going to do if you're trying to cover the Dallas Mavericks? You're going to try and stop them on a night-to-night basis. If you get up on Rondo, he's going to dribble past you. If you try and double up on somebody else, you're going to have a Parsons open, or you're going to have an Ellis open. You know, it's going to be fun to watch the Mavericks, and I look at them on paper, talent-wise, and it's hard to come up with a better team in the West right now than the Dallas Mavericks and what they have offensively at the very least, let alone, again, what they might be able to do defensively. You're talking about a team that's already averaging 110 points, and their offense should get even better at this point. But they're much like, in some ways, the Raptors. When you look down at the other column, giving up almost 103 points per game, that's going to come back to bite them if they can't continue or start to stop some people. Your offense is great and all, but if you can't stop people, I think it's going to come back and eventually come back to hit you.
Eric Smith is our guest on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And again, the Raptors tonight in Detroit, a game that they should absolutely win going away without question. The only question is, do they do the same thing that they've done against every bad team this year and kind of sleepwalk through the first half, or for the most part, not every game, but sleepwalk through the first half, sort of wake up a bit in the third quarter, but then absolutely wake up in the fourth quarter. But, you know, Pistons can shot block. Raptors like to shoot. They like to do the screen and roll. And I think this is a team that could pose some problems for the Raptors tonight. And as you said, you know, look, Smith and Jennings are the players, but they're reportedly being shopped. And Smith is the team's second leading scorer, averaging over 13 points a game, and had 4 field goal attempts on Wednesday. So that was like his lowest shot total since he took 3 in 2011. He didn't even play for Detroit at the time. So Detroit is a team that is just ripe for the picking, and I think the Raptors end up at 21-6 after tonight.
You know what? It should be, again, as you say, should kind of emphasize, should be a win for Toronto just based on the way they've played. Because the other thing as well, you know, when you talk about the record overall, the record without DeMar DeRozan is as impressive as the overall record, I think. When you go 7-3 over 10 games. You know, DeRozan's missed more than a third of the season now, and you've gone 7-3 without him. And that's your, at the time, you probably would have said your best player and certainly your best scorer. I think Kyle Lowry has quickly become the leader, the best player, the guy that's really leading the charge for the Raptors. But still, you're talking about one of your core guys going down. And if you take one of those players, again, the 1A or 1B off any team in the league for 10 games, how many clubs are going to have the kind of success that the Raptors have had? And I think a lot of it goes down to maybe fly in the face of what I said 5 minutes ago. There has been better rebounding from Valanciunas specifically of late. He's got 4 double-doubles in the last 6 games. He's averaging 12.5 points, 12 rebounds. He's becoming more of a force in the front court. Kyle Lowry's just been playing out of his mind, Joey. And he's just been fun to watch, just his motor, just never quitting, and the way that he's guiding this team right now, because he's not just scoring, but he's moving the ball and including guys. And you look at this team consistently on a night-to-night basis, 5-6 players in double figures. It's a balanced attack. It's not like it maybe once was for the Raptors and for a lot of teams where it's one or two guys doing a lot of the scoring and you can really kind of just zone in on a couple of those guys if you're the opposing team and stop them. Toronto now can get you 8, 10, 12, 14 from Patterson, from Vasquez, from Williams, from even James Johnson, from Valanciunas and Lowry and Terrence Ross. They've got so many different guys that can contribute, and they're balancing this attack in the absence of DeRozan. It makes them so dangerous because you don't know what you're going to get as an opposing team on a night-to-night basis because so many different guys can beat you. They're such a deep team.
I'm interested in seeing the matchup between Drummond and Valanciunas tonight, who has half of his 8 double-doubles in the last 6 games for the Raptors and has really been coming on.
Yeah, he has. He has, and I'll tell you what, I'll even flip the script a little bit on you right here. I often get frustrated when folks say this, so I'm going to be guilty of what some fans do from time to time. You look back to the draft, and as good as Terrence Ross has been, and as bright as the future may be, there's still some people that look at it and say, man, at the time, the Raptors didn't draft Andre Drummond for a number of reasons. A couple of teams passed on him because there were some questions about his motor, his work ethic, and what he was kind of player he's going to be as a pro. And so there's clubs balking on him, and the Raptors could have had him. And what have we talked about for good portions of this interview? The Raptors, issues with size and rebounding. Can you imagine what Toronto would look like right now with Andre Drummond, that power forward, playing alongside Jonas Valanciunas in the middle?
Oh.
It'd be pretty dangerous front court right now for the Raptors.
So, no.
It's going to be a fun matchup to watch, no doubt.
Well, and we keep saying the same thing about this team because they're one of the rare teams in the league that can just sub guys in, and they're not doing it in units. They have rotational units. They have guys coming in, guys coming out. They've done an incredible job. I've said it before, but it's something that is really stands out. Whether it's Patterson or Ross or getting, Gravis in there and he's starting to come on a little bit, but Lou Williams being the revelation that he has been, and getting Charles, like we're going down the list of guys. The Raptors are just a team that has been able to do something that most teams in the NBA can't, and that's have enough personnel to create a bunch of different units and a bunch of different looks, which is really difficult to defend against.
I completely agree with you, and I was just saying a couple of minutes ago, it makes it so difficult because teams don't know who's going to beat them on a night-to-night basis because there's so many different guys that can. As you were talking here, I brought up the Raptors' numbers as a team, and even I hadn't realized that Kyle Lowry is actually averaging under 35 minutes a game. Before DeRozan went down with injury, Joey, in the 16 games he did play, he was averaging under 34 minutes a game. The way that Dwayne Casey's been able to balance this lineup, and I'll tell you what, that in itself is a huge coaching success in that he's been able to balance it, manage minutes, keep guys happy with minutes, and to the credit of the players, that they've stayed happy, clearly because they're winning. 20-6 certainly helps. You know, a guy that's playing 20 minutes a night would rather be playing 25 or 30 isn't going to be griping about minutes or playing time because at the end of the day, we're 20-6, we're winning. I can kind of check my ego. I think if you were 6-20 or if you were even 10-10, it might be a different story. But you look down the roster and you look at how many guys the Raptors have right now that are averaging around that 22, 24, 26-minute mark. You're talking about Patrick Patterson at 26, Vasquez at just under 21, Valanciunas as your starting center under 27 minutes, Ross just over 27 minutes. It's been a nice chess match so far for Dwayne Casey, the way that he's been able to keep guys fresh because of the depth of his bench and his ability then to manage different lineups on the floor. You know, the guys that are on the floor at the end of the game often aren't the starting five for the Raptors. So to the old cliche of it doesn't matter who starts, it matters who finishes, Dwayne Casey has shown that he sticks with who he thinks are his best five in each game. You might have Valanciunas out there at the end of a ball game, but then you might not see him for three straight because Patrick Patterson's a better matchup because the opposing team's going small. Or Lou Williams might be on the floor with Kyle Lowry. Or you've got Vasquez because he's got the ability to play off the ball or bring up the ball, and maybe then Lowry's better off the ball. I think the way that Casey has managed this so far has been fun to watch, and it's a credit to him that he's been able to kind of do it all and keep everybody happy.